Today on Life Talk.
Abraham said he's able. Sarah said he's willing. Abraham was focused on God's power. Sarah was focused on God's faithfulness. Abraham believed God could. Sarah believed God would.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
Hey, everyone. You know, as I began to grow as a Christian in my early years, I began to realize how important what I believed about God really was. In fact, what we believe about God will determine what we believe God for. If I believe God is a provider, I'm going to believe Him to provide. If I believe God is a healer, I'm going to believe Him to heal. And if I believe that He is a God who answers prayer, I'm going to be in the prayer closet a whole lot more. Have you ever stopped to think what exactly you believe about God, His character, His promises, His power, His love? In today's message, we're going to look at a very important part of who God is, and that is His faithfulness. The God of the Bible is a faithful God. I believe today's word is going to bless and help you to lay hold of the promises of God with fresh faith. So let's get started as I share part two of the message, He is Faithful.
We're going to read out of Romans 4, one of the most remarkable passages of Scripture that I think is in the New Testament. And so there it is in Romans 4, verse 18. And this is jumping in and talking about Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. No, I just backslid there for a minute. Song we used to sing. Some of you are looking at me like, are you okay today? I'm really okay today. But Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope, believed. So that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he, Abraham, did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Here we're looking at the way faith behaves. Faith didn't look at the problem. Faith looked at the promise. Faith didn't look in the mirror and say, I'm dead. Faith looked at God and said, He can. Now let me give you a little bit of Abrahamic history, because Abraham is the father of the faith that we stand in. That is, Abraham is our father in that he was declared righteous because of faith. By his faith, he was declared righteous. So he became the template for all the rest of us, because we have not been declared righteous by our own good works, right? But we have been declared righteous by faith. Faith in the promise of God that if we look to His Son and believe on His Son, we will be saved, forgiven, delivered from hell, delivered into heaven, delivered out of darkness into light, delivered out of death into life through Jesus Christ. So when Abraham believed God, and I'll talk about that more in a minute, I'll show you the context, but when he did, he became the father, the pattern of our faith. Now, when Abraham was 75 years old and Sarah 65, he married a woman 10 years younger. God promised them a son. And he also promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. This is called the Abrahamic covenant. He covenanted with Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And he also promised to take him to a land that when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and then later left Haran, he didn't even know where he was going. He had no idea what the land looked like. He stepped out in faith. He just did what God told him to do. He started walking. He didn't know where he was going to wind up. He refused to build a house. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and as did Jacob. And it was their testimony that this world was not their home, so they were not going to build a home, a house, in a place that was not their home. They stayed in tents. And they just began to travel. And they traveled towards the promised land. It was the promised land that Abraham was promised. And he was also promised that his own descendants would occupy and populate that land. So the whole covenant that God made with Abraham, catch this now, necessitated his having a son. No son, no fulfillment. How do you have descendants if you don't have any children? How's anybody from your seed going to occupy a land if you don't have a child? So key and pivotal and the focus of God's covenant with him is you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. That was God's promise. So Abraham set out for the promised land. When he was 75 years old, he was full of faith, full of zeal, full of anticipation, full of excitement about the future. But then his weeks turned into months. And months turned into years, and years stretched into decades. Abraham and Sarah began to get very frustrated. They're thinking things like this: where's God? I mean, hey, God, are you looking at us? We're getting old. Have you noticed how old we're getting, God? They became frustrated. They were tested by what tests us almost more than anything else, and that is time. Time tests you. Let me tell you what time tests. Time tests the promises of God. What you believe God is going to do, time will test it, because his timing is never our timing. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. When we think he should do it, have you ever done this towards God? Hey, have you noticed? I've been single a long time. I've wanted that raise for a long time. Hey, God, are you looking at the watch like I am? Time tests you. Because God's timing almost always requires us to wait. There's always a waiting between the promise and the provision. There is a lag time, and it's when that seed is in the ground, that seed is planted in the ground, you can't see it, there's no fruit, there's no green stalk kind of poking up out of the ground, where you have evidence of life, where you have some visible confirmation that God is moving. It's all under the ground where you can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't touch it, taste it, smell it, hold it, grasp it, obtain it, experience it. It's under the ground. And it's when that seed is under the ground that our faith is tested by time. Time. Now, for Abraham and Sarah, time was everything, because the promise came when he's already 75 and she's already 65. Okay, when the promise came, they were probably expecting to conceive within a month. I mean, let's get on with it, God. But nothing. I want you to think of, you got to put yourself in their sandals. All right? 10 years, 15 years. They're thinking of this promise, descendants occupying a land. Many nations are going to come from me. Really? Well, how about the first one in that nation? Nothing. 20 years, 21, 22. And believe me, they had their fainting spells. Because, for instance, in desperation, Sarah told Abraham one day, I want you to be intimate with my handmaid, Hagar, and let's help God out here by conceiving through Hagar. And we'll just let that child be the fulfillment of the promise of God. But the problem was, they weren't moving in faith. They were moving in the flesh. They were operating in unbelief and doubt and fear and worry. They felt like they had to help God out. Listen, with any promise that God gives you and me, the last thing he needs is for us to help him out. Because then we will take credit for it. And God shares his glory with no one. When God does something, all you can do is look up and say, he did it. Hallelujah, glory to God. This is from him. So they looked to the flesh. Abraham got with Hagar. And Ishmael was born. Our world is troubled today because of their act of unbelief. And when Ishmael was born, Abraham took Ishmael in his hands, and look what he did. He looked up and he said, please, God, let Ishmael be the son you promised. Another version puts it, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, oh, that Ishmael might suffice. Oh, that Ishmael might do. Because we're tired of waiting, Lord. We got to get on with the program here. He could have heard God say, but it's my program, and I'll do it my way. I don't need your help. And so God spoke to him something that he didn't want to hear, but he said, no, Sarah, your wife will have a son, and you will name him Isaac, and that's the only way I'm going to do it, Abraham. It's going to happen not by might, not by power, not by the strength of the flesh, but it's going to happen by faith and by the moving of my spirit. Now, our text tells us that two huge impossibilities challenged Abraham's faith as they grew older. Both he and Sarah's bodies had grown reproductively dead. But he did not consider his own body the deadness of it. He didn't dwell on the impossibility of having a child in his old age. He didn't focus on the problem. He focused not on the problem, but on the promise maker. He focused on the promise, not the problem. And folks, isn't it how so often we look at the problem, stare at the problem, fixate on the problem, dwell on the problem, meditate on the problem, fellowship with the problem? It's dead, it's dead, it's everywhere I look, it's dead, it's dead. That thing is dead, that thing is dead. There's no hope for this marriage. There's no hope for this temptation I'm facing. There's no hope, there's just no hope. I don't see any hope. It's dead, this thing is dead. My dream is dead. I had that dream that I thought God was going to do this, that, or the other 20 years, 30 years ago. But Abraham had a dream 25 years old, and yet he didn't focus on the deadness of the possibility of it coming to pass. He focused on the promise. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking. See, looking. What you're looking at so decides whether or not we have victory. Amen.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you, too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111. Or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So time did not weaken his faith. Circumstances did not diminish his faith. Rather than his faith weakening, it says Abraham became fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Everybody say fully convinced. In the face of a dead impossibility, he became convinced God was able to do it. Wow. Now, most people get discouraged, frustrated, and walk away and say, well, you know what? I thought I had a vision or a dream from God. I thought that he gave me something, but clearly it's not going to happen. Not Abraham. Between the promise and the provision, his faith got stronger to the place where he didn't even think about the problem. He just said, he is able. 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 My God is able. He is able. And it was at this juncture in Abraham's life, when he was saying he is able and I'm not focusing on the problem, that God declared him righteous. The Bible says, Romans 4:22, and therefore, since he believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham's confession, he is able, he is able. I don't care what I see, I know he's able. I don't care what it looks like, I know he's able. I know that God's power can make this happen and will make this happen. I'm convinced of it, and that's where my faith stands. But then we come to Sarah. And Sarah, we find that her faith was not locked into so much God's ability to do it, but his faithfulness to bring it to pass. See, I see a difference in the two. The way their faith locked into two different things. Abraham said, he's able. Sarah said, he's willing. Abraham was focused on God's power. Sarah was focused on God's faithfulness. Abraham believed God could. Sarah believed God would, based on his faithfulness. Let me read it to you. By faith, Sarah herself, this is so powerful, also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age. Why? How'd she do it? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh my. Do you know what that's telling us? Listen, let me read it again. Receive strength. She received strength to conceive seed. That means she experienced a miracle in her body because she was well past, biologically well past, being able to conceive a child, but because she judged God faithful who had made the promise, she said, I don't care what I see, he's faithful. I don't care what it looks like, he's faithful. I don't care how desperate we may feel, he's faithful. I don't care if I reach 150, he's still faithful. That child was going to come because he is faithful. Not because I'm able, because I'm not, but because he is faithful, we're going to experience this child. He's faithful. Now, I want you to say with me, she judged God faithful. Now, that word judge means that she looked at the situation and she sized things up and she came to a conclusion in her mind. The conclusion in her mind was, my leading thought, my conviction, my confession is going to be that God is faithful. I judge him. I conclude in my thinking process that my God is faithful. Now, you got to know, they didn't have any Bible. Abraham had no Bible. Sarah had no Bible. Moses hadn't come yet. Moses wrote the first five books. They had no Bible, no script, no word of God to look at. It was their walk with God and what God had revealed of himself to them. And God had revealed to them that he was faithful. Amen. Can you say again, God is faithful? Because she believed that, she experienced a miracle in her body. It was a miracle healing. It was a miracle readjustment. God gave her back her youth in her body. Faithful simply means trustworthy, reliable, someone that can be counted on without fear of disappointment. And Sarah decided this was true about God. He's trustworthy, he's reliable, and he can be counted on without me being disappointed. I conclude that that's who God is. Amen. I wonder how many of us here today have decided the same thing. Because all of us are looking at something that looks kind of dead or partly dead or difficult or is at least a challenge. And have we said to ourselves what Sarah said? Have we looked at it and then come to a conclusion? Well, you know what? You know, I do see this and I see that. And what I'm looking at in the natural is not real encouraging. But I judge my God to be faithful. I judge God faithful. He's faithful. Judging God to be faithful, folks, is pivotal to receiving his promises. It matters what you believe about God. It matters what you believe about God. Everything hinges on what you and I believe about God. Do we believe he provides? Do we believe that he heals? Do we believe that he saves? Do we believe that he's merciful? Do we believe that he forgives? Do we believe that he strengthens us in the hour? Listen, do we believe? What do we believe about God? Well, Sarah said, I know he's faithful. I can count on him. Have you done that? Have you done that with the situation in your life? Have you faced it concluding, my God is faithful? The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe two things about him, that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But if I don't believe he's faithful, how can I expect him to reward me? If I don't believe he's faithful, then I'm not going to expect anything from him. Lord, I can't imagine putting my faith in an unfaithful God. You're not going to live one day with that kind of faith. You've got to conclude God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now let me quickly give you three areas where God is faithful that we can hang our hat on it. The first one is, he is faithful to keep you in him to the end. Everybody say, he is faithful to keep me to the end. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Amen. So we wake up and say, oh, I don't know if I can do this Christian thing today. Let me tell you something. God didn't save you to lay it on you and make you do it alone. He said, I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to carry you. I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to get you there all the way to the end. And I know it's true because he who has called me is faithful. Second area, God is faithful. He's faithful to deliver you in the hour of temptation. The temptations, I'm reading the Bible now, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is what? Come on, everybody. God is? How do you know that? He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. In the hour of temptation, God is faithful to provide a way out. Look at these doors here. See that door? And these back here, there's an exit sign over those doors. Anytime you and I are tempted, when the devil comes to take us down, God is faithful to point us to a door that has exit above it. It may be a sudden sense of strength to flee the temptation. It may be some excuse that you come up with all of a sudden to get out of the temptation. Listen, it's grace on the inside to enable you to flee the temptation, but God will open a door. He'll open a door. He says, I'm faithful. I will not leave you in the oven of temptation alone, but I will open a way of escape. Now, we got to take it. We've got to take it. God can show you the door, but you've got to run through it. But God said, I'm faithful. I'm not going to let the devil gnaw away on you and beat your brains out with temptation. I'm going to open a door where you can escape into safety and liberty to the glory of God. Amen. I think of Lot when Sodom was about to be judged. The Bible says an amazing thing. The angels of God that had come to Sodom grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city. The Lord was merciful to them. Listen, God was faithful to deliver Lot and his wife and his daughters. Even when they were tempted to remain in a sinful city, God opened a way of escape and took them out before judgment fell. And that's a picture of the rapture. Right before judgment falls on this world, we're going to be taken out. As Lot was taken out, we're going to be taken out. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are remain and are alive will be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why will God deliver us before judgment falls? Because he is faithful. Amen. And the last area I want to mention is he's faithful, oh listen, to forgive you. 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So many people struggle with whether or not God has forgiven them. You say, oh, Pastor Jeff, you just don't know what I did. If you knew what I did, you would understand why I struggle. Well, yes and no. Let me ask you a question. Is your sin greater than God's faithfulness? No. Here's another question. Is your sin greater than the blood shed for your sin? Oh, no. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It may have been heinous and horrible, and all sin is. But here's the deal. The Bible says when we take our sin to him and we say, oh, God, forgive me, it is a reality. He is faithful. He is faithful. He can be counted on, relied on without fear of disappointment, to wash your sin completely and totally away, to remove it as far from you as east is from the west, so that you can walk free of condemnation. You can walk with your head held high, not because of yourself, but because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God, because he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Amen. Say it again with me. He's faithful. He promises to forgive the person who truly repents. And if you're struggling with it today, do what Sarah did. She just looked at it and said, you know what? I conclude he's faithful. I conclude my God is faithful. My God is faithful.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.